Ever dream of a three-row SUV where everything for every passenger feels just right? Introducing the all-new Infiniti QX80. With available features like biometric cooling, electronic air suspension, and segment-first individual audio that isolates sound right to the driver's seat. Discover every just-right feature in the all-new QX80 at InfinitiUSA.com. 2025 QX80 is not yet available for purchase. Expected availability summer 2024. Individual audio cannot buffer all interior sounds. See owner's manual for details.
Summer is supposed to be an opportunity to slow down, but when you look at your kids, you can't help but notice that your kids are growing up fast. Help them build independence as they grow with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where parents can keep an eye on kids' money habits while kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. It's the easy, convenient way to raise financially smart kids. Get your first month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is the Illinois-Maryland post-game breakdown, which the words post-game breakdown are actually fourth quarter breakdown is kind of what we're talking about here. One of the more painful losses that I can remember in a while, a 17-10 lead with 4 minutes to go turns into a 20-17 loss. Brad, you've sat through a lot of these over the years. How do you boil this one down?
Well, you know, it's really poor execution. I thought the play calling, I thought the time management was almost inexplicable down the stretch.
I had the same thoughts here at home, Brad. We were watching it, and at one point, I think I counted just two plays. We could have burned 45 or 55 seconds off the clock and at least got into an overtime situation as opposed to letting somebody come in and steal it at the end of regulation.
Yeah, no question. I didn't understand what they were trying to do on their last possession. But, you know, at the end of the day, you can't win a game when you complete 10 out of 26 passes with an interception. And, you know, unless you're just completely dominating on the ground, and they clearly weren't that. They gave up too many sacks, too much pressure on the quarterback. Peters missed some throws. They dropped some balls. But I didn't like their play calls. I just feel like – so you've got a situation where you're running the ball. They ran the ball early in the game. They spread the defense out and ran the ball and used the quickness of their offensive linemen, got them on the edge, moved those linemen around. Later in the game, it's like they tried to line it up and just run down their throats, and your 240-pound back isn't in the game anymore because he's out. McCray, so you've got Love out there, and Love did fine, but there's no holes.
Yeah.
And you're doing this also, mind you, they're running up the gut, and they're like all-conference center isn't playing today. So, Kramer, so you basically got two backup linemen on the field, and so it just made no sense to me. I think you got to run more misdirection. You got to be doing things that are more, creative. You can't, I mean, I don't know how many times we're going to see Isaiah Williams run by for a jet sweep and not get the ball.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean, one time, you got to give it to him once or else they're not going to respect it. But the one positive, I guess, is the defense. I thought the defense, although they gave up a lot of yards, a lot of those came late. They did a pretty decent job of keeping Illinois in the game. If you give up 20 points in college football, you should have a chance to win that game. And that's just the way it's, it's just not, the offense just isn't good enough.
Yeah. And that, Ked, what did you think? Because I know you had the pleasure of sitting right next to Brad during the game. What were you seeing from your vantage point?
It's a tough loss. I can't say it's the worst loss in Illinois football history because, as we know, there's been a lot of them. But tonight was frustrating because, you know, I don't want to just be a negative Nelly and point to blame but on certain things. But honestly, I thought the play calling was atrocious. To me, the game was lost when you get the turnover, the fumble on a 20-yard line, and then Brandon Peters throws a pick the very next possession, dagger. You get the ball with 4 minutes to go or 3 minutes to go on the clock. You need a first down. And like Brad said, they run the ball straight up the middle. They don't have the best offensive line. The play calling was just unimaginary. It was predictable. Maryland knew what was coming. I get the fact that they want to establish themselves as a running football team. But right now, you don't have the horses to do that. You get a first down in that situation, then the game's over. At least you give yourself a chance for a field goal. It was frustrating to watch all night. I felt bad for the players. I felt bad for the fans at home who watched it and the fans that came here because they deserve better than that.
Yeah, it was a tough one to watch here at home. But even worse was just down the end, it was kind of a mystery as to what was trying to be accomplished there by the play calling at the end of the game. I'm not a big one for running behind backup linemen who are undersized with a relatively small back. That's just not a plan of mine that I like to go by. The other thing was I was disappointed in Brandon Peters, and certainly I think his ability to throw the ball deep opened up some of the plays that you know, got Josh McCray, or the lanes for Josh McCray and others to run in. But I would have liked to have seen, I mean, if you got Deuce out there, I guess if you're going to maybe once a quarter, just have him run straight down the field and throw him the ball and see if you can at least then the next time have him run downfield and run wide where he was. I mean, I'm not a real offensive genius, but my gosh, there's a few things that you can do to try to take advantage of Deuce. And I think, I know Isaiah took a couple, you know, he took a big hit. But boy, we got to find a way to get him the ball. And then our tight ends, who are very talented, got like what, three passes thrown to them all night. I mean, it was, I don't know, Brad. I see guys who are good who aren't included in the game plan. And I don't get it.
Well, for me, I'll tell you what, I'm not disappointed with Brandon Peters because you know why? This is what we expected. Like, sorry. This is what we expect. You know, I said it last week, you know, and I'll say it again. It's not his fault. You know, you got to get the balls in the playmaker's hands. And you know, God bless Isaiah Williams. He's not the biggest kid in the world. And he's going to take some hits like that. Until you can have a quarterback who's a proven winner, who can get the ball to receivers. Like I say, think about it. You get the turnover on a 20-yard line, and the very next play, you get it picked. That's tough to swallow. I mean, and it really is. And I'm not, you know, being negative on the kid, but you can't make mistakes like that and expect to win. And Maryland, on paper, may have more talent, but Illinois had a chance to win. And I guess moving forward, they have a lot of soul searching to do as far as like the play calling, the schemes. The defense gave up like 486 yards, I believe. But fact of the matter is, they gave up 20 points. That's it. And teams are going to, we know we can overanalyze how many yards they gave up. But if you can't score 20 points or 25, 24 points, if you look at all of our predictions on IlliniGuys.com, we were all predicting 37, 34. That's not going to happen. Not if you're just going to try to run the ball down people's throat without the talent to do that.
Brad?
Yeah, the scariest part for me is Illinois' best play was when Reggie Love fumbled and Casey Washington picked it up and ran it in for a touchdown. Yeah.
That was that wasn't an actual play.
No, exactly. I get McCray did have a nice run, but you know, you got to score more points than that. You can't win these games with scoring 17 points. And I know, you know, college football is not a game where you can rely on your defense to win games and shut people out. I mean, you want your defense to get stops, don't get me wrong. I mean, but at the end of the day, you have got to score points. You just have to do it. And you can't just be content, you know, not getting points and having Blake Hayes pin them down at the yard line. Because, and you know, to be honest, that's part of Illinois, you know, the yardage looks worse because it seems like every time they give up a drive, it's 86 yards or 90 yards because Hayes pins them deep. And then they go down and score. So, you know, I don't know. You give up 20 points. You actually gave up 10. You had given up 10 points in this game with 5 minutes to go. With 4 minutes to go, you had given up 10 points.
Yep.
And, you know, you got to win that game.
Well, and the part that comes back to me is to get a kick blocked. You know, that whole game changes if Illinois has three more points. And even with what we saw, I'm not certain that even you know, I don't think it would have been a lot harder to lose if you'd have had that, you know, 20 points on the scoreboard. And you just hate to have a kick blocked. I mean, that you talk about not taking care of the details. That's one that comes back and you pay for it almost every time.
Yeah, I'm disappointed. I think for me is that I thought that we were, you know, if nothing else, you know, and I think what I thought is the opposite of what I'm seeing. Like I thought, you know, Bielema would be, he'd come in and we'd be like, at least we knew we were going to be fundamentally sound. We're going to do those little things. We're going to block well. We're going to, you know, do all these things. I see the opposite. I think he's recruiting well. I love what he's doing on the recruiting trail. I don't feel like they're doing a great job on the sideline. I'm going to be honest. I think Ryan Walters did a really good job on the defensive side of the ball today, having a game plan to set that up. But offensively, they have to be better. I mean, you know, and maybe there's a reason they're recruiting so many offensive players thus far. But they got a long way to go.
So what alternatives does Bielema have if he wants to try to do something different offensively at this point in the season? You know, you're obviously looking at a 1-3 team. Offense has been a struggle through all of the games. I mean, people forget, but even, you know, even Nebraska, you know, it took an interception, you know, getting reversed to kind of get things going. But what options does he have out there to change things around on offense?
I don't know if he is going to change players because we all, the three of us, know the personnel's not there yet. But I'd have that conversation with the offensive coordinator about looking to do things differently. There's no way. I was on the message boards. I saw Twitter. Brad and I are both sitting in the press box. Sorry, you know, that's what the noise is from, guys. Everybody's saying the same thing. You have to be – or have some kind of imaginary, you know, common sense when it comes to the offense. And, you know, I feel bad because we're sitting here being very critical of Coach Peterson, but this, to me, tonight, a lot of that was on him. And I know Coach Bielema will have that conversation with him. We're never going to know about it, which is none of our business. But I'll tell you what, if they think they're just going to run the ball down people's throat and Maryland isn't physical, wait till Iowa and you got to play Wisconsin. That's, I mean, hell, you might not get across the 50-yard line against teams like that. It's just not going to work.
Yeah, I agree. I think what you have to do is you have to run things. I thought early in the game they got their offensive linemen on the move. They got them out in space. They were able to get guys. They spread them out. They were running, you know, even when they played the tight end, they had them split wide. And I saw so many, you know, tight sets later in the game. Two tight ends and lining up with single back and just running it, trying to run right at them. Misdirection. You got to run these things. I thought some of the, you know, the plays when, like, you know, a Peters keeper, we ran one time. And I feel like it was there, you know, because you have to make them respect going the other way. I mean, you got to start one way, go the other. You can't just line up and smash my football people all the time, especially when you're missing your starting center, you know, who's a big part of your offensive line. So those are things that you have to do better. And I think there are options that can do that. I think getting ball, I thought there were some good play calls early. I think usually it's been the scripted plays. I thought they had some plays that they missed on early, but they had opportunities. Or I liked when they threw it deep a couple of times and play action. Yep. But I don't feel like they did enough of that. I felt like then they'd run play action trying to get to Barker. Barker's running such shallow routes. If he caught the ball, he's going to get 1 yard. I mean,
right.
To me, that didn't make any sense. I didn't understand the design or scheme or what they're trying to accomplish with those plays. So there were a lot of plays I didn't like. But at the same time, I know they're limited at wide receiver. You know, there was a play where I think Isaiah, a deep ball where he had a chance to make a play on the ball, but he's a quarterback.
Yep.
So
yep.
he didn't go make a play on the ball. You know, he's not ready for that. So there are some limitations that they have. But at the same time, you have to find a way. I mean, your job is score points. You can say our personnel is not very good, you know, whatever. We need this guy or that guy. Your job is to score points. You got to find a way. If it means you got to run the more misdirection, got to run a few trick plays. Maybe we pitch the ball to Isaiah and he throws a halfback pass. Or wide receiver pass. I don't know what it is. I'm not going to tell you specific. You have to do something different. You can't keep doing the same thing. You've played four games. You haven't scored in the first quarter yet. And those are the scripted plays. That's when you're supposed to be at your best. They haven't done it.
Yeah, Bill Walsh would have probably ended his whole scripted play mystique if he hadn't scored when he did it, you know, if you think about it, because that's what he was famous. You know, he was a guy who kind of got those things famous. I'll tell you, even that last punt when Hayes came up to snap the ball, it was funny because Maryland wasn't going to move. And I actually think that if they would have snapped the ball, I think that Maryland was relaxed enough. I think that Hayes, with his background in sports, he'd have got 1 yard, and it would have been, you know, that would have made it on SportsCenter. You know, I'm not saying that's a high percentage play, but goodness gracious, you know, it seems like there was some times when surprising the other team might work. I know you guys are trying to head out to get back home, and I know we really appreciate you guys going over and covering the game. So let me get some parting comments from each of you on that. And I'm going to start with you, Ked, first. I guess we'll go two questions. Give me your parting comments on the game, and then we'll wrap up if you have any tidbits on basketball based on you know, what you might have heard when you were over at the tailgate and talking with people today. So, Ked, what'd you think on the football game wrap?
From a football standpoint, I want to see some imaginary on the offense. I want to see some trickery plays. I've not seen it all season. Every team Illinois played this year has been able to do that against them. Okay, if they are higher at this level and, you know, Coach Bielema picked the staff, I want to see them to be able to create and do some of those things that other teams are doing to them. Maybe it may open up the offense and passes maybe easier to the receivers. From a basketball standpoint, I was able to talk to Jeremy Fizz's father, senior, tonight. And the thing we talked about that was the most impressive to him was the Illinois current basketball team. His words to me exactly were, this team is the best team in the Big Ten. There's no question about it. Talent-wise, they're loaded. He made the comment to me that Omar Payne, in his opinion, now people keep in mind, this kid played Division I basketball at Ohio, was going to transfer to Iowa State. Mind you, and he said Omar Payne would be a pro. He talked about how good Corbello was. Hutchison was impressive, and Plummer can shoot the snot out of it. He was encouraged. He just said he was in awe of the talent, and the recruits all loved it. They all talked about it. They talked about keeping them deep and keeping this thing going. So it was a good visit. I know Sincere and Rogers are still there. Fizz is going to Indiana tomorrow, but the scrimmage, which, you know, all those kids wanted to see, they were all impressed with that.
Perfect. Perfect. So, Brad, let me have you give us the wrap and any other basketball tidbits.
Yeah, I think from a football standpoint, I mean, you've got games against teams that are going to be similar to Maryland. Maybe teams that when you go to Purdue and you've got Charlotte and coming up. And those are games where you've got a chance to win again, but you're going to have to make plays down the stretch to win. I think obviously, you know, Bielema's got time. You know, it's not like we're, you know, you're looking at him. He's not, you know, you're going to fire him after 1 year or anything like that. So it's nothing like that or anything. But I think the one thing he has to do, I think you got to make adjustments. And I thought they made defensive adjustments today with their personnel and with their scheme. And they varied it, and I thought they were more effective. But at the end of the day, you know, you got to find a way to win at one of these next two games, in my opinion. From a basketball standpoint, so I'll talk recruiting. I feel like Illinois, Odega, OA is sounds like, you know, Oklahoma, Illinois, Penn State. Sounds like maybe he doesn't want to go to rebuild like Penn State. He wants to be in a competitive spot. So Illinois got a shot there. I feel like they had a great visit with Ty. They're having a great visit with Ty Rogers. I mean, and this kid's having a great time. And then the other one would be Cam Whitmore. He's at Villanova right now. The one thing about Illinois made a great pitch to him this week and really resonated, it sounds like. If he obviously, the biggest difference is parents could get a car to go to Villanova, they got to hop on a plane to come here. And so that's a little bit different. And so I think we'll see if Villanova has a killer visit, he's probably going to end up there. But Illinois feels like they've really made a good pitch and they've got a great sell for him. So we'll see. I wouldn't count all that out yet.
And I'll tell you what, too, for those fans who haven't had a chance to watch him, Ty Rogers, that if he's your consolation prize, sign me up to lose things because he is a stud, the type of player who literally will put handcuffs on the other team. He plays hard. You know, he plays hard walking from out of the locker room to the court. So again, and Whitmore is, and I have not had the privilege to watch Whitmore live, but on film, holy cow, he is a physical, player as well. And probably, you know, the second most imposing guy I've watched play this, you know, that I've seen, and probably Jairus Walker is probably the only one that I saw that was more physically imposing than Whitmore. You know, it to me, I think the difference that I see from Coach Underwood and his staff, because these guys make it happen, is they always have a great backup plan to go along with their, you know, just in case. And boy, when you got a backup plan, that makes a big difference. So with that, folks, we are going to let Brad and Ked get out of here. And then we're going to turn it over and talk to Matt Stevens, who is just coming up from the locker room, and you will be able to get some of his things. So, Brad and Ked, thank you so much for staying around late here and not even starting your drive home till quite early Saturday morning.
Thanks for having us. Stay with the fans.
And here we are now, Matt Stevens, the Illini guys, staff writer and beat reporter for the Illini football team, has joined us from coming up to talk from talking with coaches and players after this disappointing loss. So Matt, I am not going to restrain you. I'm going to give you kind of a full leash here to kind of tell me, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking from the time that they probably got back home from Virginia to the time that they played football for 60 minutes tonight, I thought the defense made significant improvements. I yep. really did. From a play calling standpoint and from a game planning standpoint and from a personnel standpoint and just from an overall execution standpoint, let's just start with the good. I thought the defense played their butt off. I really did. Mike, I think I had Maryland for something like 20, 24 points in my projected – I had Illinois for 20 to 24 projected points. If you hold Maryland to 20 points, I would think Brett Bielema thinks, okay, I've got a shot. I got a shot yep. to win the football game. From an offensive standpoint, I don't know if they have the horses to do what Brett wants to do, but I give him all the credit in the world for sticking with something that I think Illinois wants to do from an identity standpoint, which is run the football. Yeah. I mean, they had every reason to ditch the run game that wasn't working in the first half and just say, fellas, this isn't working. We're just going to throw it around the parking lot now. And I think the game would have gotten out of hand in Maryland's favor.
Right.
I give them all the credit in the world for being down Doug Kramer. I think for the entire fourth quarter, at least being down Julian Pearl.
Mm-hmm.
So you're playing with essentially two backup guards. Yeah. You're still trying to run it in between the tackles because you think you have an advantage there. And quite honestly, in terms of the zone runs that gets those guards out on the perimeter, they did have an advantage. I mean, I really thought in the second half, Mike, they stuck it down Maryland's throat and started to move the football and did it with, I don't know what Reggie Love is, but I think he's their third or fourth string tailback. I mean.
So why the tightening up of the formations and then the running more straight up the middle right. so at the end of the game?
Final 5 minutes. I mean, the final 5 minutes is just terrible. I don't want to make excuses, but I almost, you almost see this out of every team that doesn't know how to win, right? I mean, I said this to you off air, Mike, but I think you'd have to have his wife, Jen, at gunpoint before Brett even considers the fact that what he called and what Tony Peterson called in that last series, conservative play calling. He won't do it. And to be fair to Brett, some of those wide perimeter runs were what broke. You know, that's what Reggie Love got on the touchdown fumble recovery by Casey Washington. It was those play calls, right? So if it's working in the middle of the fourth quarter, it ought to work at the end of the fourth quarter, right? I mean, and I just it's the first time that I think Brett has kind of not understood time and score a lot, because I had a problem, and it didn't really matter because Maryland, you know, easily, I don't think they needed more than one timeout to push the ball down the field for the game-winning field goal.
Right.
But they sure didn't make Maryland sweat it out and maybe, you know, start that drive with no timeouts left. You know, I mean, if you're going to do that. And then, like I said, like mentally their head gets over water and, you know, Brandon Peters is trying to throw the ball to Blake Dirasati because he's wide open.
He has good hands.
Right. And he mentally, I mean, that's when you know this team is just gone. And so now you're making Blake punt from the end zone. And I think we all at that point, I think we all knew at that point when Blake Gerasati is catching a pass on third down and long, when you know you're probably going to punt anyway, I think we all knew where this was headed, right? We all knew that Maryland was at least going to have a shot, a kick at this at that point. At the end of the day, I really thought that if Illinois was going to win this football game, Mike, and I'm not trying to make excuses for a team that clearly gave it away in the last 5 minutes. It's what I'm going to write tonight, is that the last 5 minutes is the worst 5 minutes of Brett Bielema's coaching career right now at Illinois.
Yeah.
But I think Maryland should have won this game by at least 14 points, just based on – you know, player for player, talent for talent, and what they have, you know, from an experience standpoint and what they're clearly comfortable running on, you know, for offense. I'll never understand why Mike Locksley and Dan Enos decided to go away from what worked coming out of halftime. And I'll give all the credit in the world to Illinois' defense for figuring out that if you drop eight and only rush three on third down, to Lua Tagovailoa, it doesn't have a clue as to what to do.
Right.
No, right. And I give Ryan Walters all the credit in the world for trying everything he could to get a W tonight. And because the defense played, I thought the defense played better than they did against Nebraska. I don't think that's saying too much, you know? And so from that standpoint, that's where I was really concerned about this football team. I wasn't concerned about the offense being able to, you know, put some points on the board, but, I'm going to say something that's going to really anger, I think, our subscribers and Illinois fans, is that I started doing this job in 2009 and I was covering Mississippi State. And I walked away from Davis Wade Stadium in Starkville, Mississippi, with Mississippi State being 1 yard away from beating an LSU team. And it was pretty much play calling incompetence on first and goal from the two that didn't allow it to happen, right? And I'm not saying that this was coach and play caller incompetence that the last 5 minutes happened. There was some execution failures, I'm sure, that happened too.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And so, sorry, this is the Maryland bus.
No, that's fine. That's fine. It's just, it adds some flavor.
Yeah, I'm just not going to let it back over me. The idea that Brett Bielema needs to, like, eat this one entirely, I don't buy. My point being, when I brought up the 2009 loss against LSU that I covered, was that was the turning point in Mississippi State to realize, oh, we can play with anybody in this league. Well, I'm not saying Maryland's a world beater and blah, 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 but Maryland thinks they're going to a bowl game. They're hell. They're halfway there with three wins. Like, yep. If Illinois can do this at home on a Friday night with half the stadium empty, except for the student section — the student section was full the entire night — progress is being made here. I can't look away from this game. You can call me the biggest homer you want. I can't look away from this game and think that progress wasn't made from game three to game four. I can't. I just flat out can't. And there are players that, if they're healthy coming out of this, Josh McCray being one, Reggie Love being another, you know, Julian Pearl, if he's healthy, being another, on offense that give you hope. On defense, Seth Coleman played his butt off in his first career start. And
yeah, he was wonderful.
I don't think that's going to be his only start. I mean, that's going to be a permanent thing now. He did really, really well. And I think the secondary played really well. I thought the Quan Martin we saw in Virginia is nothing like the Quan Martin we saw tonight. And that's obviously a good thing for this Illinois secondary. So, my point being, I guess, is that I saw a lot more building blocks tonight than I saw against Virginia. And you saw another future bowl eligible team come into Champaign and look very, very beatable against the 2021 Illinois football team coached by Brett Bielema. Now, did the last 5 minutes encourage you at all if you're an Illinois fan? Absolutely not. And you can go to bed tonight thinking that Illinois just basically threw up all over themselves and lost this football game. And I guess my response to that would be that happens to teams that don't have a real big tradition of winning a lot of football games this way, like a lot, you know? And so it's got to be the fear that you had in the pit of your stomach when Nebraska was coming back late and had that last drive down 8, you know, and Illinois put it away. But they don't have — again, this team doesn't have any right for you to trust them. So why would you? So when Blake Hayes punts the football and Illinois is up 7, there isn't any reason for you to think that Illinois' defense, which has been on the field for God knows how many minutes in the second half, and how many plays in the second half, was going to be able to put that game away. There's no reason. There's no reason for you to think that Illinois was going to be able to get 2 or 3 first downs and maybe get a field goal attempt when Maryland finally tied it up at 17. They haven't earned that right to have that trust with you as a fan and as a viewer and all that thing. So those are all the things that you learn right now. And you don't learn them by, you know, if you're Illinois, you don't learn them by blowing people out by 40. You learn them by what happened tonight. Yeah. And so if Brett Bielema lets this happen again, then you can be seriously concerned that he's not the right guy and shouldn't be leading this program. But if he uses this as a building block for, we can compete with anybody else in the Big Ten and we can compete with the teams we need to be competing with in the Big Ten, then I think you should be encouraged by what you saw in terms of an improvement from week to week from what this team was in Charlottesville and then what this team was tonight. That's my overall take, and I don't think it's going to be real popular because I think people are just going to want to put darts and arrows in Brett Bielema over the last 5 minutes, and you have every right to do that. But the fact that Illinois basically should have won this football game should give you hope that there's a potential of turning the corner after something like this tonight. Because I don't – if you feel that way, ask yourself the idea of, when you turned on the television set at 8:05 Central Time, did you think that this was on the table? And I don't know if a lot of people did. I really don't. So did you think being up 7 with 4 minutes left to go was on the table? No, I didn't. And I don't know if anybody else had the right to feel that way either. So give Maryland all the credit in the world. They're 3-0, and they're 3-0 for a reason. And proved it tonight, and Illinois is 1-2 and maybe ought to be 0-3 and proved why tonight. So I'm sorry, 0-4, 1-3, and proved why they should be 0-4, you know, this season. So that's kind of the way I saw it.
Yep. Well, I do appreciate you folks. It's very early on Saturday morning as we are recording this. So Matt has taken time from not driving back to his abode to do this. So I do appreciate that. And I'm not going to keep you much longer. So I would tell folks, you know, if you go to IlliniGuys.com, Matt's going to have several stories up over the weekend here discussing kind of what he saw and doing some analysis of what happened that goes a little bit beyond what somebody like myself, who is more of a fan, is capable of doing. So I would really encourage you, if you want this type of insightful analysis, please subscribe to IlliniGuys.com. You will not find anyone who breaks down the game better than Matt does. Matt, any final thoughts before I sign off here?
I know a lot of people are really ticked off tonight. I think there are a lot of positives and a lot of building blocks that happened tonight. And I think potentially 3-4 weeks down the road, or maybe a year down the road, you'll see some of these, because Seth Coleman's not going anywhere. Josh McCray's not going anywhere. Julian Pearl's not going anywhere, you know, and there are guys that played really well tonight. Isaiah Williams isn't going anywhere, and he made some plays tonight. And, there are a lot of things that Illinois needs to work on and needs to improve from a personnel standpoint, from a scheme standpoint, from just an overall talent standpoint. We've been talking about this for 3 weeks, but yep. I think there are a lot of things that you can feel good about tonight. And there's 5 minutes of game time that you should feel sick to your stomach about. And
yeah, it was basically, this shows you what happens when you outcoach another team for 55 minutes. They get the coaching win for five. And ultimately, you know, obviously there's a lot of teachable moments in this game, and football 101, there's probably 10 different lessons that can be taught out of this. So Coach B's got his analysis. He's probably working on it even now as we speak, and there'll be opportunities for learning, and that will not stop at the player level. The coaches will, you know, take a look at what they did, and basically, look, in life, it comes down to what could I have done or what could I have said to get a better result, and that's what some of these coaches are going to be looking in the mirror just as much as some of these players in terms of.
Yeah, I think my final thought quickly, Mike, is that I think this can go. I mean, it's cliche as this is going to sound, but cliches are cliches for a reason. This is going to go one of two ways. It's going to go down the direction that it's gone in the past at Illinois, which is here we go again. Or it's going to go down the road of, wow, we almost beat a really decent Big Ten team. Well, when we outplayed them, not only outcoached them, but outplayed them for 55 minutes. And if we play a full four quarter game, we can pretty much stay with anybody. And there could be some confidence that gets built out of this after the hurt gets taken away. The players have an off day Saturday. I think that the hurt will be there. And then when they get back to the facility on Sunday, they need to decide which direction this is going to go in 2021. And they're the only ones that can decide it. And I think Illinois fans should be encouraged by 55 minutes and should be sick to their stomach by 5 minutes. And that's why, look, Illinois is going to have to start making winning plays when there's times to make them, and they're not making them right now. And I think that's the most frustrating thing for Brett Bielema right now, is that he can't do that for them.
Yep.
And that's the one thing that's why I don't want to bury Brett Bielema and the coaching staff on this one tonight, because they can't execute the way that they expect these guys to execute. They can't do it for them. And if these guys had executed just a little bit better, I'll put it to you like this. The only touchdown that Illinois had tonight is on, well, that's not the only touchdown they had, but the second touchdown they had tonight, one of two touchdowns they had tonight, was on a running back fumbling the football and could have easily been a Maryland football. Like,
right.
If Casey Washington doesn't really roll toward Casey Washington,
yep,
and have him score his first career touchdown on a fumble recovery, like, that's That's not how that play is designed. That's not how that play is drawn up. So I'm getting long-winded here, but I just think Illinois is going to have to start making winning plays. And Brett Bielema has talked about this for the last couple of weeks. I can't do that for you guys. You're going to have to do that, start doing that for yourselves. And it's moments like this and it's games like this that make players start to realize that they can turn a corner and start doing it themselves. And I think that that's the hope for Illini football right now. And that's what you got to take out of tonight. I feel like, and also you've got to execute the last two drives a heck of a lot better than you did and on offense, and you got to put the game away when it's time to put the game away. And they didn't do that. So a lot of hurt right now in that Illinois locker room, a lot of hurt in that building right now. And we'll see where it goes from here.
Perfect. So, folks, that is it for the Eye on the Illini tonight. I would tell you to please take a look at your downloads or, you know, take a look at IlliniGuys.com. Monday morning, you'll see it out there, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, Eye on the Illini with an interview with Jack Trudeau and David Williams. Jack will actually open up and talk to us about some of the great moments of the 80s, one of the first times he's been talking to somebody, you know, for quite some time in the media. And he also has some very heartfelt moments where he talks about what it's like to come back from a stroke. And that's well worth the listen as well. That will be out on Monday morning for you to listen to your drive to work or maybe on your drive home from work. So with that, this is Mike Kegley for Matt Stevens. Thank you for listening to Eye on the Illini.
Ever dream of a three-row SUV where everything for every passenger feels just right? Introducing the all-new Infiniti QX80. With available features like biometric cooling, electronic air suspension, and segment-first individual audio that isolates sound. Right to the driver's seat. Discover every just right feature in the all new QX80 at InfinityUSA.com. 2025 QX80 is not yet available for purchase. Expected availability summer 2024. Individual audio cannot buffer all interior sounds. See owner's manual for details.
Cam found out that group chats between different phones aren't private.
Or encrypted,
thank you. We only text in code.
Yes, which I created. I created a code.
Yes. Which can be a little annoying.
Wait, was that your attempt at the code?
You already forgot the code, didn't you?
I should have written it down.
The place to safely send messages between different devices. WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone.
She said, get out the chat room and clean my
Glad stretch. Feeling fine, so fresh.
The Glad Girl Group coming at you with a throwback jam. That was Glad Force Flex Drawstring Trash Bags featuring Pine Sol Original Scent. And that's better than all good. It's all Glad.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches. Now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles. Just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt in to rewards.
From kids' sleep gummies all the way to extra strength sleep gummies, Ollie can help everyone sleep like it's a school night. Do wellness on your terms. Find Ollie at a store near you or at OLLY.com.
Ollie!
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.